If you're a last-minute gift shopper, then Instacart is your holiday rescue app this season. No more tracking packages, no more trips to the post office, and no more Christmas gifts arriving in February. Instead, you can just download Instacart to order gifts like beauty, tech, and gourmet goods from local stores and get them delivered in as fast as 1 hour. Plus, right now, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders. This offer is valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. Must be 21 plus to purchase alcohol where available.
Hey, cat-loving couples dreaming of a proposal that includes your furry feline? Head on over to FelixPerfectProposal.com for a shot at winning over $4,000 for your dream ring and a special treat for your feline accomplice. Your engagement, your way. Let's make it happen together. Visit Felix, P-U-R-R-F-E-C-T, Proposal.com to enter today. This contest is not being run in connection with the solicitation of or the marketing of an insurance product.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to this Dean Blandino story in just a second, but I think the biggest takeaway from yesterday in the NFL was from that Cowboys and Bills game, where the Dallas Cowboys are now back and the Buffalo Bills are back as well, but they have different meanings, because for the Buffalo Bills, them being back is okay through all the hiccups that they had this season. They're 8-6. They got three games remaining, and really the only tough game is going up against the Miami Dolphins. So bare minimum, barring something crazy happening in those 2 weeks before the Miami game, they're going to have 10 wins going into that Dolphins game. Dolphins have a tough schedule. We'll see if the Dolphins end up winning the AFC East. But even with how crammed it is and how packed it is, I do believe Buffalo's going to the playoffs. And I started this last week, and I'll double down on it this week. I think Buffalo has an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. I do. And I think Buffalo is going to the Super Bowl. We are in a year in the AFC where, and also the NFL, we've seen so many quarterbacks go down. So to just have a healthy quarterback this time of the year gives you a massive advantage. And yesterday, Buffalo's offensive line came alive. You then also saw James Cook, who was having a really good underrated season. He's like second or third in rushing yards. But he had a monster day. And that defense, even though the defense isn't great, and we'll see if they get back Matt Milano. Tre'Davious White is done for the season. But that defense was dominant yesterday, but showed me that they could be serviceable the rest of the season. And it would be very fitting for Buffalo to wind up going on a run where last year they were the team that everyone was picking to go to the Super Bowl, and they massively failed. So then this year, a lot of people jumped off the Buffalo bandwagon. We basically wrote their eulogy 4 or 5 weeks ago, and now they're starting to come back to life. So Buffalo, even not needing really Josh Allen to play great yesterday, were not only able to beat the Cowboys, but they embarrassed the Dallas Cowboys. And that goes into Dallas. Dallas, every year, they dress themselves up as this 11, 12, 13 win team, as they have the looks of someone that should look great and right, and that should be a great team. But then you see flaws, and it just shows you how week to week this league is. Last week, the Dallas Cowboys took it to the Eagles, and it was the first big time performance we saw from the Cowboys this year. And everyone is just praising and overly praising the Dallas Cowboys. Even I last week was praising what Dallas can be and what Dallas did, even knowing for the better part of the last 3 years, I've always said about Dallas, they look great in the regular season, and then come playoff time, they will fold and they will choke. But the problem I have with Dallas yesterday isn't just that they lost the game, because they weren't going to win out, but it's they were non-competitive. And Dallas in their building, compared to being on the road, looked like a different team. And from a talent standpoint, even though I like Buffalo going into the game, and I like Buffalo to win, Dallas has more talent than the Bills this year. They are a more talented team on both sides of the ball. And you were watching, let's say, football for the first time, you would have thought that the Cowboys were a team struggling all throughout the year, and the Bills were this dominant team from start to finish. So both of those teams showed you who they really are and what they will continue to be for the rest of the season. Dallas will have moments where they crush the inferior teams. You know, I'm sure they'll find a way in the playoffs to beat whoever wins the NFC South, whether that's New Orleans or whether that's Tampa Bay. But when push comes to shove, in a big spot, in a big moment, division round, NFC title game, you just won't trust them. You know, Dallas reminds me a lot like Jacksonville right now, even though Dallas has been around for a lot longer in terms of expecting more out of them. But it is kind of amazing how teams like Dallas, Jacksonville, you know, also to, you know, to some extent, yeah, no, Detroit as well, how those three teams, they have the looks of really good teams. And Jacksonville now a little bit different at 8-6. And we know where the Cowboys and the Lions are trending to in terms of their record. But all three of those teams at times have looked like really good teams this year. But then in those big games, it's not only as if they don't win them, because it's one thing not to win them, but to not even show up. Like Jacksonville three times this year have a big game against Kansas City, big game against the 49ers, big game against the Ravens, and you didn't show up in all three of them. And that was Dallas yesterday. It's like, how do you not even show up? How do you not even put up a fight? And that's my problem with the Cowboys. And that just further reiterates and reconfirms to me what the Dallas Cowboys are. They're frauds. They're a good team. They're not a great team. And in a game like that yesterday, it cost Dak Prescott the MVP. It did. Dak was a serious momentum push to go win the MVP. And then he loses that game. And now it's like, okay, all that talk for a week. Yep, just let it go right out the window. It's done and over with. And the Cowboys are back to how we analyze the Cowboys for most of the season. Expect to be disappointed with the Cowboys. All righty, so that's a little bit on the Bills and the Cowboys. That game yesterday, we had to comment on it and circle back to it. Let's now get to Dean Blandino. So for years we've talked about, especially with gambling being legalized, that the NFL or any professional sport's biggest fear are players gambling on the games. I actually don't think that should be the biggest fear. It's the officials gambling on the games. Now, I'm not a big conspiracy guy. Like, I'll listen, but I'm not a big conspiracy guy. When you lose a bet and then you see a call that doesn't go your way, oh, how much money did this coach or how much money did this player, how much money did this official have? But I do acknowledge there is going to be someone, and there's already been people, right, that gamble when they're not supposed to gamble. How many suspensions did we see this year in the NFL in this offseason? But I think when players bet, they're usually betting on themselves, or they're betting on their teammates, or they're betting on friends that they're not going up against. So I don't know how much players betting really impacts the game. Now, if you have a player saying, you know, my over-under is 6.5 catches and I'm going to take my under, and he just so happens to drop what would have been the 7th catch because he had, I don't know, like $100,000 on it, all right, he's impacting the game. And I'm not saying players should be allowed to gamble. I'm not. Because rules are rules, whether you like them or not, those are the rules, and I understand why the NFL would not want players gambling. And once you open up Pandora's box, oh, you could bet on yourself, but it has to be in a positive way, well, then you're just losing everything. You can't do that. You can't. Even if a player's like, oh, I'm going to bet my over on yards every week, it just can't happen. But officials are never talked about in this equation, or rarely talked about. And I'm sure, right, as Dean Blandino says, they've been approached by gambling agencies and things like that and people associated with gambling to get the officials on their side. It's, you know, if you don't think that didn't occur, then you're living in like this kind of naive world, let's just say. But that's my biggest fear, as we kind of saw with the NBA, where, you know, I've talked to Tim Donaghy before, and he was betting on the games, or he was giving advice to people that were betting on the games and things like that. But Tim Donaghy, he claims he never let a call get impacted based off the advice he gave or what he was betting on. Which, I don't know about you, Santer. When Donaghy once said that, and he did that in an interview with me and a bunch of other people, I'm like, you're telling me when you tell all these powerful people that are very intimidating and that could get you wiped off this planet in about 3 seconds and one snap of a finger, if you give them, I don't know, like Spurs laying 2.5 and it's a close game late, you're not going to make calls to make sure that you're right. Like, that always does not pass me believing him, but that's what Tim Donaghy did claim and has claimed for years. But I think the officiating side of this, where for a while we've been programmed, and once you get programmed to say something, you just always repeat it. We've always been told, up, the NFL's worst fear, or Major League Baseball's worst fear, or the NBA's worst fear, or hockey's worst fear, soccer, whatever sport, are the players risking the integrity of the game and throwing a game based off money, which is a fear. But I think most times, you know, players, they're going to bet on themselves, but if you need the money, you'll do desperate things, and then maybe you could throw a game. But officials, I do think it's easier for the Zebras to impact a game if, let's say, one of these gambling guys gets to them and make a direct impact, because no one's going to really sit back there if just a bad call happens. And I'm sure there'll be some people that go, up, that official's gambling on the game. But I think it's said in jest, and it's more so, oh, this is just the NFL officiating being bad, and that's always the out for NFL officials.
And the difference is, like, you look at the amount of money that these players make, right? So if you're making $8, $9, $10, $20 million a year as a player.
And not everyone makes that, but it's more lucrative playing than it is reffing.
Sure, but the guys who have more of an ability to impact the outcome of a game or a betting line are going to be making more money, right? A guy making $350,000 on a rookie contract probably isn't going to have the ability to impact a game.
Yeah, good point.
To change the line. But the refs can change the line any second. And these guys make, I think the average is $200,000. The highest paid ref makes $250K. It's nice money, but it's not life-changing money.
Yeah.
And so if some guy comes to you and is like, here's $1 million.
Here's a bag of cash.
Here's $1 million. Just, you know, make a couple calls here and there and get this, you know, get this under or get this, you know, this line in. You know, it's interesting, and we all thought that refs were above it. We don't really think about it. And then when Blandino was talking about today on Awful Announcing podcast, it started to raise red flags to me and to a lot of other people that, like, maybe there's more of a potential of something bad happening than not.
So I'll play the audio in just a second, but I do find it funny, and this is my gripe with TV refs, how once they're no longer reffing, these guys can't shut up. Blandino is now spilling the beans and telling us that refs are getting talked to by people that are involved in the gambling world. They're getting approached, and he talks about the checks and balances that the NFL puts the refs through to make sure that they don't do things like this. And is the Sunday night guy, it's not John Parry, it's Terry McCauley. I wanted to go through the screen last night, take my hand, and I wanted to just punch Terry McCauley in the face last night. You know, I understand that it was a controversial play in the Jaguars game. And yes, on the second look, it did look like a catch. But for this guy to say it was clear and obvious right away, I'm like, there was nothing clear and obvious about that catch or any catch, for crying out loud, in the NFL, because we don't know what a catch is. And it bugs me because I think it impacts the way that we talk about the games, where the moment McCauley goes off like that, that every one of these aggregators and everyone on social media, they then harp on that play for the rest of the game. Like, they went to commercial break, came back, McCauley's still talking about it. He didn't shut up about the catch that ended up being a catch, that they ruled that it was incomplete. It just drove me bonkers. And that's what these officials do now, these TV refs. They either do it in the moment, or then they wait and they find something and they bring it up like after 15 plays did go by. So McCauley, he was annoying me last night. And now Dean Blandino spilling all the beans. Here's Dean Blandino on Awful Announcing on the dangers of gambling infiltrating NFL officials.
We've had situations and they, you know, where people were approached. And we always told our game officials, because they're in hotels, we didn't want them wearing NFL branded gear, right? We wanted them to be inconspicuous, because someone sees them and, oh, those are the NFL officials. And then you never know. You just don't know who you're going to come across. And they know that they're supposed to go to NFL security if something like that happens. And that has happened in the past.
So it's a difference in saying that, oh, NFL officials got approached, and then also, oh, there's an official that actually took the money. And that's the other thing. Like, you talk about the risks here, Santer. You know, an NFL official could look at it and go, I only make like $200,000 a year. You know, someone offers me, I don't know, $5 million to impact the game. That's life-changing money. But do you actually think you're going to get away with it? Now in the year of 2023, I don't think there's any secrets. I do believe everything eventually does come to light. And if that comes to light, then you're going to the slammer. Then you're going to jail. Like, I don't know if there's enough money for me to go to prison in order to fix football games. But I do think that's interesting audio. It's one of the few TV ref audio that I actually like. where Blandino goes, yeah, our guys have been approached. Now, here's my question, though, Santer. Is there any ref right now in the NFL today that got approached and is maybe impacting games? You know, I do wonder, did anyone actually take the money? Now, they're never, if they get approached, they're not going to the head of officiating and saying, hey, guys, I got approached. And then you take the money, you'd be the biggest moron in the world. But I do wonder, with how casual and how easy Blandino gave that information, are there officials right now that are advising gambling companies or whatever, however it goes down, or, you know, maybe not legal people, let's just say, even in legalized gambling, where there are officials that are getting money in some gambling capacity, and are they impacting the games?
I mean, it raises the question that it's possible. Now, Blandino went on later in the segment to explain that the NFL like monitors their bank accounts. They talk to
the officials.
Hmm. They talk to their neighbors. They talk to their friends.
Yeah.
And like, hey, did they have a new car? Did they do any weird upgrades to their home? Did they do XYZ? So they're constantly
being
monitored.
Could you imagine if you live by one of these refs? Because like, not everyone says, oh yeah, they're friendly with their neighbor. But a lot of times you're not usually friendly with your neighbor. Could you imagine you're just trying to like go get the newspaper, you go trying to get some milk or something like that, and you got like one of Roger Goodell's lackeys standing outside your house saying, hey, did the next door neighbor, did he have a new car? Is he having all these extravagant parties and things like that? I would get so annoyed, I'd move.
I probably, but maybe there's something in it for you in the end. Who knows? But at the end of the day, like, it seems like the NFL has a lot of different checks and balances in place to keep this from happening. But like, there's offshore accounts and there's other ways to hide money and other ways to like get money.
I don't think this is DraftKings or FanDuel.
And
you know,
all these refs have second jobs also, right? Some of them are accountants, some of them. So who knows what kind of money they make? And there's ways that they can, you know, show more money or show less money than they're actually pulling in.
Or get a bag of cash and keep it under a mattress.
Yeah, and listen, so far we've seen a lot of instances where guys have been suspended for gambling, but we haven't seen instances where guys were suspended for like impacting the game negatively. Mm-hmm. You know, Calvin Ridley had a 10-team parlay and the Jags were one of them, and he bet the Jags to win. Yeah. Right? Who cares, right?
And like, there was that situation in Iowa in college. I'm going to say this. If there's a player that's going to throw a game, it's going to happen in college.
Yeah.
I don't think it happens in the NFL, but the officiating part is the one that I never thought about.
Yeah.
And then you have that Blandino audio, and I think it'd be naive for me to just totally dismiss it and say, oh, there's no way the officials aren't betting on the games or giving advice or things like that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's definitely happening, too.
Totally agree. And the fact that he said it and admitted it makes me wonder.
Yeah, it's like, are you just trying to be entertaining because now you're in the entertainment world? Or is there maybe some chatter behind the scenes and you're just dropping some dimes for us or some snacks on the trail or something like that and say, hey, follow it and see what it leads to. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll do No Huddle Offense next.
Why is Instacart the holiday rescue app? Because you can get all your seasonal decor delivered instead of having to drive to 12 different stores. Candles and candy canes? Delivered. Wreaths and reindeer? Delivered. Lights from Lowe's? Delivered. And since I know you're going to ask, inflatable snowman? Delivered! So this season, stay in and get decked out. Download Instacart, the holiday rescue app, to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
From the moment you brought your kitty home, they've been running the show. While they're busy climbing the curtains and doing their midnight parkour exercises, they're wishing you'd get cat insurance to help cover them for their inevitable fall from grace. Felix Cat Insurance is the perfect solution, offering pet insurance plans made just for cats by people who speak cat. It's a cat's world. We just live in it. Give them the protection they deserve with a custom quote at felixcatinsurance.com. Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
You may think your credit score isn't a big deal, but when your credit score increases, your opportunities do too, like loan approvals and lower interest rates. Chime makes it easier to build credit with a secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Chime helps you build your credit score safely by using your own money to make everyday purchases and on-time payments with a safer credit building feature enabled. To apply, just open a Chime checking account with a $200 qualifying direct deposit. And don't stress, there's no annual fee or credit check required to apply and get started. Build your credit history and find new opportunities with Credit Builder today. Get started at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A., member FDIC. Chime checking account and a $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Call 1-844-244-6363 for details. On-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we start things off in Cleveland.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoot, hoot.
The Browns are trailing, though. And then Joe Flacco found Amari Cooper for a 51-yard touchdown pass to tie this game up at 17 apiece.
Flacco drifts right, throws, and he's got Cooper open. He caught it. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. I don't believe it. Cooper open, and Cooper tightrope walks down the sideline. Tippy toes in.
Eventually, Dustin Hopkins would hit a 34-yard field goal to give the Browns a 20-17 lead. And Justin Fields let one rip right at the end of the game into the end zone. It was a Hail Mary. Darnell Mooney on his butt in the end zone. He's going to catch it. Oh, it goes up into the air and gets intercepted. That was wild. You know, when going back to that play from Joe Flacco to Amari Cooper, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, Amari Cooper did more of the work. But then you go back and you saw the way that Flacco fit that ball into a tight window with three defenders right in the area. It was insane because we had Amari Cooper on afterwards for Ion Football. And he was like, I've never had a pass thrown like me from a quarterback like that. And Joe Flacco's one of the best balls he's ever seen thrown. I go, really? And then I went back and watched and I go, wow, what a throw that was. And then Cooper turned up the jets and was able to find a way to stay in bounds as well for that score. And you look at the Browns' defense, they've had a lot of injuries on both sides of the ball. Now Flacco is playing well his last two games. Can the Browns actually start to be a contender? I don't think so. But they can win a playoff game this year. Because Joe Flacco is a playoff quarterback, even though he hasn't been in the postseason in a long time. He used to scare the crap out of those Patriot teams, and he's actually beat them a few times in the postseason. And not only that, this is just a team that their defense is so good that if the other team gets contained, they go win a game 17-13. So I do believe the Browns have a ceiling this year. And that is they'll be in the playoffs, and I think they could win a playoff game. Joe Flacco, by the way, 374 yards in the game, two touchdowns and three interceptions. And David Njoku is having a career year. He had 10 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown. Amari Cooper goes 4 for 109. Jets and Dolphins. Dolphins blank the Jets 30-0. Did Tua Tagovailoa silence his critics with this performance without Tyreek Hill? Well, let's first listen up to Tua throwing a 60-yard passing touchdown to Jalen Waddle.
Tua under center. Back to throw, looking deep down the left sideline. He wants Waddle. He's got it! Touchdown, Miami! There's a new cheetah in town.
Boy, Jalen Waddle just smoked DJ Reed on coverage.
Can we wake up the play-by-play guy? Can we make his microphone a little bit louder? Jeez. Now, I know they go to the early bird special in Miami, but I thought the play-by-play guy was half asleep or maybe half in the bag. Who knows? But good performance by Tua, 21-24, 224 yards, a passing touchdown. Raheem Mostert has 20 total touchdowns on the season. Jalen Waddle goes 8 receptions for a 142 and a score. I know I asked right before we played the cut, did Tua silence his critics by dominating without Tyreek? I wouldn't say that. You know, he played really damn good in the game, obviously. Now, the Jets have a good defense, but they have nothing on offense. they still need Tyreek Hill to go to a Super Bowl this year. I don't think Tua without Tyreek takes him to a Super Bowl. And for Tua, the game against Kansas City, the underthrow, and then the fumbling of the snap concerns me. And last week, when you were up 14 with 3 minutes to go and you lose that game, that was inexcusable. Tua's a really good quarterback. I would not call him a great quarterback, but it was a good performance by him. And then also, how about Bradley Chubb? He had 7 tackles in the game, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and also had a fumble recovery as well. Let's go back to Saturday night. This was a game between the Bengals and the Vikings, Saturday afternoon, I should say, where it looked like Minnesota was going to win. You know, Minnesota at one point, they're up 17-3 going into the fourth quarter. T. Higgins had a touchdown catch. Joe Mixon had a touchdown run. And then it's a tie game at 17-all. And then Jordan Addison gets a touchdown to make it 24-17. But then there's a play that sometimes, like, if you're not watching the game or listening to the game and you're just seeing it on social media and you're just following a name on social media, you're like, wow, this person did that something really special. This is what transpired when T. Higgins caught this ball and then found a way to stretch out and get into the end zone. This was a 21-yard touchdown pass from Jake Browning that tied up this game at 24 apiece that sent it to overtime.
48 seconds left in regulation on 2nd and 10. Browning scrambling right, in trouble, throws it off his back foot toward the end zone.
Oh.
T. Higgins wins a jump ball for the football. It's a touchdown.
Man.
An incredible catch by T. Higgins. And the Bengals have scored with 39 seconds to go.
So it was a great catch, but it was extending the ball and finding a way to get it into the end zone. And I forgot who put this out there in social media, but they compared it to the Odell catch. If on the actual catch of Odell, it was just the extension for T. Higgins. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense, because you remember that crazy way that Odell had his arm go back to catch the football? If you just take that catch and you describe that on just the extension that T. Higgins had, that's the best way to describe on the radio how he ended up going into the end zone for that one. And eventually Evan McPherson, Money McPherson gets the game-winning kick in overtime to win the game 27-24. The Bengals are 8-6, and the Vikings fall to 7-7. And you look at the game that Jake Browning played, it's back-to-back weeks where he's done a good job, 324 yards passing, 2 touchdowns and a pick, and T. Higgins goes for 4 for 61 with 2 touchdowns. Is Jake Browning going to be a legit NFL starting quarterback next season? It won't be for the Bengals because you get Joe Burrow back. I would still say I need to see more, because the environment he's in Cincinnati is a good one. Like, we don't give Zach Taylor enough credit for being the coach that he is. And then you also have, I know Jamar Chase got hurt, but you have Jamar Chase, you got T. Higgins, and you got Joe Mixon. You got a lot of good pieces and a lot of Super Bowl caliber experience, even though they haven't won one, with some of the players and the runs that they've been on the last 2 years with the Cincinnati Bengals. All righty, we will keep it moving, and we will stay with Saturday, as the Pittsburgh Steelers just got dominated by the Indianapolis Colts 30-13. At one point, this was a 13-0 game, and the Colts scored 30 unanswered. Let's hear Gardner Minshew find Mo'Ali Cox, who, by the way, played basketball at VCU. This was a 18-yard hookup for a score, and it made it 21-13.
And back to throw, Minshew on first down, near sideline, toss, caught! It's going to be a touchdown! It's Mo'Ali Cox! He got lost in the secondary, hit him on the fly, took it to the near right corner. His 8th catch of the season, his 3rd touchdown.
I don't know how the Colts do this. Like, I had to take a deep breath there. I really don't know how the Colts do this. They lost Anthony Richardson for the season. Jonathan Taylor has barely played for them. Shane Steichen right now would be my pick for coach of the year. You'd also consider D'Amico Ryans and Kevin Stefanski. And I know the Browns have dealt with a bunch of injuries, but at least the Browns have a ton of talent still. You then take a look at the Texans, at least they have C.J. Stroud. But when they're down 13-0, even with how bad Pittsburgh has been as of late, no one's thinking they're coming back. Or even if you think they're coming back, do you think they're scoring 30 unanswered? But that's what they ended up doing. And my oh my, Minshew had the 3 passing touchdowns. The Colts also had 170 yards rushing as a team. Cowboys and Bills. Bills blow out the Cowboys. Here is James Cook on a 24-yard touchdown run. This was the cherry on top of the sundae, made it 31-3.
Gives to Cook. Goes behind Dawkins through a hole. Down to the 10, the 5, and he leaps into the end zone. James Cook with his second touchdown of the game. One receiving, one rushing. It is a blowout here in Orchard Park as the Cook has found the kitchen for the second time tonight.
James Cook, 179 yards rushing in the game and a rushing touchdown. Also had 42 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. And Josh Allen only needed 94 passing yards. And the Bills win 31-10. Like, Santer, just entertain me here for a second. Let's say I go back to Saturday. Not even Sunday, just Saturday. And we're talking before the game. And I say to you, you know what? Josh Allen's only going to have 94 passing yards in this game for the Buffalo Bills. You know, give me a prediction. What do you think the score is going to be between the Cowboys and the Bills?
100-3.
Like, seriously. You would have thought it would have been a blowout. And Buffalo would have got shredded. Instead, Buffalo blew out the Cowboys. You know, there's certain moments that you remember. Like the Patriots and the Colts in that AFC title game where all they did was feed LeGarrette Blount. The Patriots up against the Bills a few years ago where the Pats didn't even throw the ball in the second half and they beat Buffalo. Michigan this year up against Penn State where they had one passing attempt in the second half and then a penalty took it away. All Buffalo did yesterday was run the football. In the year of 2023 where it's pass, 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 Josh Allen only had 7 completions for 15 attempts. They ran the ball 49 times for 266 yards. And my favorite play of the NFL season was James Cook earlier in the game where Deion Dawkins was run blocking and he took a defender from the 22-yard line down to the one that eventually set up a touchdown. That was Michael Orr like in The Blind Side in that movie scene where he takes the defender and throws him into the dumpster. That was awesome. But what a performance it was for the Bills, and now the Bills, they're back. Like, I think this is more so the Bills being back than the Cowboys being bad. And don't get it twisted. Dallas is 10-4. They'll have the look of a team that should be a Super Bowl contender, but they won't be because you can't trust them in a big spot. But Buffalo survived all the hiccups. And Deion Dawkins, who joined us last week, even said, you know, we're getting our confidence back. And it showed on Sunday. One thing to beat Kansas City, then you double it up with a blowout victory against the Cowboys. Now they're 8-6. And for Buffalo, they're my pick out of the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. I think they will continue to get hot. They'll beat the Chargers this upcoming weekend. They'll beat the Patriots. And you got a big one with the Miami Dolphins that could decide the division. But Buffalo is a sleeping giant. And I think people are starting to realize that. Sure, the Ravens, the best team right now in the AFC. Kansas City's got offensive problems, but still a force with 15. We know the Dolphins know how to get the ball in the end zone, but they can't win a big game. This is right there for Buffalo to have a legendary December and a legendary January. And then be in the Super Bowl and playing for that Lombardi Trophy. And finally, the Jacksonville Jaguars just can't show up in a big game. And it's a shame, too. But you look at their 3 biggest games of the season this year, they were all at home. All at home. Against Kansas City, against the 49ers as well, and then the Baltimore Ravens. In those 3 games, they've been outscored 74-19. 74-19. It's one thing to lose them all, but to not even have a pulse in the game. And in the first half, you had 2 missed field goals. You had a fumble by Lawrence. They couldn't get the ball snapped at the end of the game, the end of the first half, because you had a player tackled inbounds. And it was just a disaster. And all Lamar Jackson did was extend the plays and show his value. And unfortunately, the Ravens suffered another injury with Keaton Mitchell, who was starting to play really well for them. But this is a Lamar Jackson 16-yard touchdown pass to a likely friend of his. Isaiah Likely also got in the end zone the other week. And here is Lamar making it 10-0.
2 receivers to the left, 2 tight ends right. Jackson in the gun, gets the snap, fakes the handoff, back to pass, fires down the middle. That's caught. Touchdown, Baltimore. Isaiah Likely makes the catch in the end zone. His second touchdown catch of the year, and the Ravens find 6.
Trevor Lawrence, 264 yards, a touchdown, 2 fumbles, suffered a concussion. He's in concussion protocol right now. Lamar Jackson, 171 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, and also 97 rushing yards. I bet him anytime touchdown last night. It was at plus 185, 175. How he did not get an anytime touchdown last night, a rushing touchdown, when they were at like the 1, it was inconceivable to me. So let me just ask you this real quickly, guys. Ravens right now are the best team in the AFC. We had to go around the room. Who's the biggest threat to the Ravens in the AFC? Stu, we'll start off with you.
I'll go with the Buffalo Bills.
Ah, you're on the bandwagon. Samter? Well, we know what his answer is. The team that I just adopted, the Kansas City Chiefs. Right?
Why do I sound like Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, I don't know why. You don't sound like that.
There's a lot
like
of things that you could say about me, but having a high-pitched voice is not one of them.
I think I'm just programmed to working with Hickey for all those years, and that's how I'd always imitate Hickey, and he does have a high-pitched voice. So
yeah,
I think
especially when he gets excited. Yeah, he's getting very, I got it! Yeah. No, but I say this not just as a long-time devoted Chiefs fan.
Yeah,
the Chiefs are absolutely the biggest threat.
Not even 6 months.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Right? AFC Championship game.
Okay. I'm
Baltimore. Medium weather.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens down by 3 entering the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift in the building?
Taylor Swift is absolutely in the building. She's actually on the sideline for this game.
Oh, that's a loss.
Yeah.
Loss.
She's right there. She's right in the action.
That's a Chiefs loss.
She's actually in the ear of Andy Reid.
Andy Reid.
Yeah, he's right. She's right in the ear. She's talking on the headphones.
You want a cheeseburger, big boy?
Are you really telling me that you have confidence in Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes?
I will open my eyes. Lamar has played very well up against Kansas City. And number two, Lamar Jackson continues to be the most disrespected player in the NFL. And it's
an absolute joke. I love Lamar.
All this guy does is play well. All this guy does has exceeded expectations, and because he's had playoff shortcomings early on in his career, it's, he can't win a big game. There's been a lot of great quarterbacks that did not win a Super Bowl until later on in their career, had to overcome a lot of misfortunes. We had guys like idiots like Bill Polian. I'll make him a wide receiver, make him a running back. The guy's first 2 years in the league as a starting quarterback wins the MVP. Yeah, I believe in Lamar. I think Lamar can win a Super Bowl.
I think that he can win it with his legs, and he can throw and he can make passes at times, but at the end of the day,
he doesn't have any receivers. He's never had a great wide receiver.
So it's not going to change in this year's playoffs.
But he keeps on dominating and playing well.
Same thing as like the Cowboys, right? They look good in the regular season.
No.
They play well. He's a good quarterback. He's an elite level
quarterback.
But if they're down in a playoff game with bad weather and the pressure on him, I want to believe in him. Remember they were down against Tennessee in the playoffs
and they came back?
I want to believe in him.
All right, so you're taking
the Chiefs. Have they gotten past the divisional round? No.
No, they haven't.
That's a big deal.
Okay, but like, did you want to say that Peyton Manning wasn't a good quarterback when every year he would lose in the postseason until he finally got over the hump 1 year?
The difference was Peyton Manning was breaking records with his arm left and right.
And Lamar's not breaking records?
With his legs.
Yeah,
different
okay.
story.
And he had a unanimous MVP his first year as a starter in the NFL. All righty, Emmanuel, who's your pick? Who's the biggest threat in the AFC up against the Ravens?
Miami.
Oh, you're still going Miami. He's on the Tua. That's just so obvious.
I am. I think they get overlooked.
He's afraid of Tua Tagovailoa's people going after him.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want any of that smoke from the Tua.
I think this narrative has been put in place that, okay, because they can't play in cold climates, or they can't play on the road, that they can't win the AFC. But they've been the best team in the AFC outside of the ones you're mentioning.
Okay, the Ravens, yeah.
Right, the Ravens. So if we're looking beyond the Ravens, I think it's Miami.
Game, though. Miami can't win a big game.
But until proven otherwise, this could be the year.
Yeah, well,
and I think
they're
most well-positioned to win this year in a wide open conference.
They could put up points. I think the Jalen Phillips loss is big.
And they could be the one seed. They have a path the next 3 weeks. If they take care of business at the one seed, they're playing at home, and it goes through Miami.
Buffalo also beat them by 18 points. But anyway, the answer is the Buffalo Bills. All righty, they're getting hot at the right time. Josh Allen is an elite quarterback. And they're a team that has had a lot of shortcomings the last few years, or they have folded in the big games a lot the last few years, that it would be so Bills-like to finally get over the hump after everyone has written them off. All righty, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get the latest CBS Sports Radio update in with Emmanuel Babari.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, the satisfying sounds of more sales in your business. And from the sound of it, your business is growing. But you shouldn't have to pay more to scale your business. With Stamps.com, you can import orders from wherever you sell online, find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times, and instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers and stock up on supplies. Get started at stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.
All right, it's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Major college football news. Dylan Raiola, number one quarterback who was originally committed to Georgia, has flipped. He is now going to Nebraska with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Now, his father is a legendary Nebraska offensive lineman. His uncle is on the staff. And not to do the wind horse fingers here, but this is like the least surprising thing ever, because when you saw, really, the other day, Kyle McCord go to Syracuse, what does that tell you when everyone said Nebraska was getting Kyle McCord? Well, it tells you that they knew that Dylan Raiola was flipping his commitment, and also a big reason why McCord left Ohio State was because he wasn't guaranteed a starting job. So if you couldn't guarantee Kyle McCord to be the starter at Nebraska, well, you could put two and two together on why so many people were hearing that Raiola was going to Nebraska, and then it was just a matter of time before you put the ball across the end zone. And I don't think he wanted to announce it yesterday because the Nebraska volleyball team was playing in the national championship game, which they ended up losing. So great get for Matt Rhule. Tremendous job by the Cornhusker staff. As you get a top player, Nebraska Cornhusker legendary son, right? You know, going there and trying to follow in dad's footsteps. And we would love to see Nebraska turn it around. And this year, their defense was awesome. Offensively, they had nothing. I watched every Nebraska game this year. That offense was painful. That offense was offensive to offense. With how many times they fumbled the football and turned over the football, now they have their guy. Now they have their quarterback in Dylan Raiola. And you hope nothing but the best for the Nebraska football program, because I went to Lincoln this year. Those fans are unbelievable. They are 100,000 people in the stadium each and every week, and they deserve a winner, and they care, and their passion is really second to none. All right, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jim in Philadelphia says, Zach, do you think Jalen Hurts should play tonight, or should they rest him? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Well, before I give you my opinion, here is the report that's breaking right now from Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, questionable with an illness, will play tonight against the Seahawks. That is per Ian and also Mike Garofalo. He's feeling well enough to go. Like, if this was a knee injury or an arm injury, yeah, I could understand you saying maybe you should rest him. But when we're talking about just an illness, I think you play him. And also, it's not as if this was a home game, but he flew on a different plane to Seattle, and he's already there. So I don't know what he has, you know, if he has the flu, if he has the sniffles, if maybe David Carr tried to food poison Jalen Hurts, and now Big Dom is investigating this maybe to try to get Marcus Mariota on the field. You know, I don't know what it is. But you knew there's a chance for Jalen Hurts to play. He was going to play. And once he got on that plane the other day and flew independently of the team, you're not just flying out there to see if you could be able to play. You're going to play no matter what. And I don't fault the Eagles for playing Jalen Hurts whatsoever tonight. Now, in terms of the game, this game means a lot. It means more to, even though the Eagles need a win, with now Patricia being their defensive coordinator, replacing Sean Desai, who's still on the staff, but he's going to call the plays. The Eagles need a win because they've lost two in a row, but this game means more for Seattle because at one point they were 6-3. Now they're 6-7. They lose this game at 6-8. You have no more wiggle room and no more margin of error where you have to win all three of your games down the stretch to even have an opportunity to make the playoffs. The line is 4 points in favor of Philadelphia. I'll lay the 4 on Philly. Also, DeAndre Swift hasn't been in the end zone in some time. Let's see, the last time he had a touchdown was back on November 20th up against Kansas City. I think DeAndre Swift at like plus 155, plus 160 tonight gets in the end zone and has an anytime touchdown. Especially with Hurts not 100%, I think they hand the ball off a little bit more and tote the rock, as the kids say, to DeAndre Swift tonight. So I lay the 4 with the Eagles. And I go plus 155, plus 160 with DeAndre Swift to get into the end zone. All righty, that concludes our Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to each and every one of you for listening and participating with the fine radio extravaganza that we host for you each and every Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern as well, and noon Pacific to 3 p.m. Pacific as well. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll recap all the craziness from this Eagles-Seahawks game. I'm just hoping we get a good game. And like a lot of primetime games that don't turn out to be good games. Like last night, I thought the Ravens would win and would cover the number, but I was hoping for a good game. And at halftime, even though it was only 10-0, you knew that the Jaguars were cooked with the way that they projectile vomited all over themselves in the first half, missing the two field goals, fumbling the ball with Trevor Lawrence, not getting the ball off towards the end of the first half because the player was in bounds. So can we just get a good game? I'm not asking for much outside of the Eagles -4 and outside of DeAndre Swift anytime touchdown, but I just want it to be a close, competitive game. We'll recap it tomorrow on Tuesday. We'll also touch on some other sports happenings as well. Have a great rest of your Monday, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Let's face it, most people aren't making massive turkey feasts on the regular. And after 364 days of not thinking about it, it can be hard to get that bird just right. That's where Instacart, the holiday rescue app, comes in. From getting all the ingredients to prep a full seasonal spread to getting last-minute swaps in a turkey emergency, Instacart has everything a holiday host needs to save face and save dinner. And right now, if you download Instacart, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders and delivery in as fast as 1 hour. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
From the moment you brought your kitty home, they've been running the show. While they're busy climbing the curtains and doing their midnight parkour exercises, they're wishing you'd get cat insurance to help cover them for their inevitable fall from grace. Felix Cat Insurance is the perfect solution, offering pet insurance plans made just for cats by people who speak cat. It's a cat's world. We just live in it. Give them the protection they deserve with a custom quote at felixcatinsurance.com. Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.